Welcome to the Supply Chain Ambassador Podcast. I'm your host, Bruno, helping you navigate the world of supply chain in a fun and engaging way. On today's podcast, we have Vincent Robitaille. Vincent Robitaille serves as the Assistant Deputy Minister of Major Projects at Transport Canada since 2011. He leads the integrated team responsible for two of Canada's largest transportation infrastructure projects, the Toronto to Quebec high-speed rail network and the Lac-Mégantic bypass project. Before joining Transport Canada, he served in senior roles at the Treasury Board of Canada Secretariats, at Public Service and Procurement Canada, at the Public Health Agency of Canada, and Global Affairs Canada, notably leading the P3 procurement of the new Champlain Bridge corridor in Montreal. From 2016 to 2019, Vincent volunteered as the president of the Canadian Institute for Procurement and Material Management. Vincent holds a Chartered Financial Analyst designation, a Project Management Professional designation, a Certified Director designation, and a Master of Business Administration degree from the University of Ottawa. Welcome, Vincent.
Good morning, Bruno. Nice to be with you.
Can you give us more context about your journey? How did you get to where you are?
Yeah, I was hired in 2002, actually, through the Intern Procurement Officers Program at TSPC. So probably some of your listeners are part of that program or know people are part of that. So that was the beginning of my journey, like working at TSPC up front and actually doing something quite interesting, working at the Seized Asset Management Directorate, which is still exists, responsible to manage assets that have been seized by the RCMP as part of money laundering investigations. So that's been a long journey since there, like learning and moving through the ranks as starting as a PG1 to becoming a supply officer responsible for munition procurement, to working at GAC responsible for procurement abroad for like building and renovation of embassies and official residences and staff quarters around the world. And then the Public Health Agency, where I had the chance to be there in the previous pandemic that everybody forgot, which was the H1N1 pandemic. And then I went back to PSPC in more senior role as senior director and then director general. And this is where I have broad responsibilities for procurement of commercial goods and construction, and some different services like the GC surplus that many of the listeners may know as well. I did a small stint at the Treasury Board of Canada Secretariat, actually learning central agencies, how they work, how Treasury Board submissions get assessed and reviewed. It was a great experience to understand how Ottawa works. And then finally, I came to Transport Canada to focus on transportation project. And I must say that's like, I've had fun throughout my career, but this is probably the best job I've had. So I'm fortunate.
What would you say you love about what you do, about your work?
Yeah. Lately, I've been both on project management and procurement, which really is very closely related. There's very few big projects in the government that does not involve a big procurement. And it gives you the opportunity to learn about fascinating domains. Like you mentioned in my bio, the experience I had working on the Samuel de Champlain Bridge corridor project. I knew a lot about procurement. I knew about construction, but I didn't know a lot about bridges. And being curious, getting that opportunity to work with the best in the country, sometimes the best in the world, get to understand how it works, understanding the specific particularities, what is the methodology when you think about a public-private partnership, like what's the financial structure, how do partners partner together? So being a very curious person, like being able to learn about all of this is fascinating. I think sometimes I can't believe you're paying me to do this.
Sounds like you're definitely in your element when it comes to working on these projects and partnerships and finding what works. What would you say are some of the misconceptions about what you do?
Well, I think an important topic like these days, the focus of the government on major projects for the support the economy. And obviously those are very important. But the hard work that goes before is so essential. And often, and it's been especially true if you do a public-private partnership, but I would say it's true for most big procurement. And the analogy, like a mentor of mine told me in the days, was it's like launching a rocket. If you launch the rocket and you prepare and then it goes in the right direction, that's good. But once it's left the ground, it's really hard to change the direction. It's very hard, very expensive. So you got to do things right. Like you don't necessarily have a ton of time. So I think that the misconception is people like tend to focus on when things are built and not as much about the hard work that needs to be done. And I find that our job, and certainly the, I think great procurement officers, think ahead of time. You need to think 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years into the future. You need to understand as much as possible about what's going to happen from all aspects, and then bring it so that the RFP that you go out with really allows you to get to that, to a good endpoint where you minimize like the challenge that will happen down the road. I think that the misconception is people think about, if you read the paper, and I think like many of the listeners will see that when their work is covered by the media, like nothing is happening or the government's dragging its feet and all that, when the most important work is getting done. So I think that that focus, I think, is important to bring credit to the importance of our profession.
Today's episode was brought to you by Workaway Offices, Ottawa's premier flexible workspace provider. Workaway is not just a space, it's a vibrant community for building productivity, creativity, collaboration. With ergonomic furniture, high-speed Wi-Fi, free coffee and tea, on-site parking, regular network events, and even mentorship opportunities, it's everything a professional needs under one roof. Whether you're a freelancer, a startup founder, or remote worker, Workaway Offices makes work fun and flexible. So visit Workaway Offices to book a tour and learn more.
It's the due diligence, the work that happens beforehand. I like to tell my clients, most of the work happens before the RFP gets posted, because once the RFP is posted, similar to your analogy, once the rocket is left, you don't have a lot of controls, but if you've done the work beforehand, it should go off without a hitch.
Yes. I think the bigger and the more meaningful the procurement is, the more there needs to be preparation, finding ways to engage with the client and the industry. And also, and when I speak about planning the RFP, I think like going without an inch doesn't mean that there's no changes, but it's to understand where change may happen. So let me give you a few examples here. Like when we're talking about projects that are more than $100 million or billions in the case, what we've done often is like a strong market sounding. So basically like you meet, like sometimes depending on where you are, you already have a fairness monitor with you, but you just like basically meet with the key industry players. Like you find out who they are, and you go through, you have like a fact sheet, a project brief, what you're trying to do. And then you just like, you find a few questions you want to ask them. And then you just sit down with them. Now it's virtually even easier, although there's nothing like doing it in person if you can. Again, like depending on the size of the project, the size of your organization, may or may not be possible to invest in travel or having people come to you. But like spending the time, and my experience is that like folks are extremely generous. Like they told me, don't do this. Your predecessor or somebody else did that. It turned out wrong. And often when you're meeting like many of the players, over 50 different stakeholders in the industry and the ecosystem, hold each other honest. And you can say, if there's only one person that says something, say, maybe it's in their own interest. But when you got 10 people, or and even if you, you do something smaller, let's say your industry has four or five players, when three are saying the same thing, it's worth listening. But I find the more you know about that dynamic, the more you can run a successful procurement, but also get good value, right? You get more bids. Like sometimes people even like notice, and that happened to me in a few projects. I almost had a personal brand, like really trying to understand the industry dynamics and what matters gets you a long way. And there's a way to do it. Like professional integrity is very important. Values and ethics are very important. You don't want to give an unfair advantage to one versus the other, but we can be careful and do that right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, engagement with industry doesn't have to be a scary thing.
Oh, sometimes they're trying to squeeze us, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the time, I'd say they don't know what we know. I find that like we overestimate how much they understand what we're trying to do. And a lot of this, and this has happened to me often when I spoke to the industry, like they so often misinterpret our intentions, especially if the procurement is big enough. Like what we've been using in all of my latest project is commercial confidential meetings. So those tend to be like full day meeting, a separate meeting with all the bidders with a fairness monitor. So you can imagine, for example, for ISP Rail, we have 3 bidders. So we would have one day with bidder 1, one day with bidder 2, one day with bidder 3. Again, along with a fairness monitor, so that we don't give more information to one versus the other. So it needs to be managed carefully. And by having an honest conversation, you say, listen, here's where we're trying to do, here's why it's important. Then sometimes they'll say, and then they will approach it differently. Sometimes they will say, wait a minute, now that I understand what you're trying to do, this is not the best way you guys should be doing this. I think it takes a lot of humility, but when your goal is to be successful, I mean, the industry can give you good feedback, but even if you take 10 or 15% of what you get from the industry, the outcome is vastly better.
That's so true. Very good point. In your career, what challenges have you faced and how did you overcome them?
Yeah, I think and it's true for everyone to a different degree. Is we need to make decisions with very incomplete information in procurement. And often I find typically it is something fairly big, fairly infrequent. And it often means that there's uncertainty and yet you need to make decisions. So it's both having that ability to work under a lot of ambiguity when you start. And it means that when you make your first decisions, it takes a lot of humility because like you will likely be wrong. You know, I've been wrong, like, and then we'll need to course correct. And I think the challenge there is not to hold on to your previous decisions if they were wrong. It's being able to take a step back. It's not about me. It's not about you. Like we're there to serve Canadians. We're there to get the best outcome. Like what I say often to my team is we're not here to be right. We're here to win. And when I say that, I always want to be careful. It's not about lacking integrity. In our profession, if we don't have like the highest level of integrity, we're nothing. The only reason we can do our job is if Canadians trust us. I'm not saying compromising our integrity, but it's also, I think it takes a bit of honesty. It took me a while to be able to do this, but to both project confidence, here's a course of action we're going to do, but also saying we're going to get more information as we go through and we might be wrong. And there's going to be points where we can adjust and I may come back and I don't know like what we will get wrong, but there are probably things that we are going to get wrong and we will change it. And changing it is not failure, it's success.
As a procurement advisor, when I have to give advice, oftentimes I like to talk it over with fellow colleagues, with managers, and just present to them from my point of view, my research. So it's, like you said, it's appreciating that we're not always right, but we're willing to make the adjustments needed to get it right.
Indeed. Yeah. Well, and it's also about, I think this is, and it's not something that come like automatic. Like obviously the longer you've been working in an organization, you have your own like personal reputation, hopefully as positive as possible, but that's the starting point. But to go back to that understanding of the industry and being able to have an informed conversation about this again, you're never going to know more than your client. I hope not on what you're buying. If so, then there's a problem, I would say.
Okay. Shifting gears a little bit. What fun, exciting things are for you next?
Yeah. But I think like right now, it's really my focus is on the Alto High-Speed Rail project. It's been more than 30 years. People have been talking, why doesn't Canada have high-speed rail? And there's been studies, efforts, discussion with provincial governments and all of this. The government has committed like $4 billion to develop the proposal to make an ultimate decision on how to build this. It's between Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, and Quebec City. So, and it will literally transform how we travel. So, and it's going to be, it takes time to build. So it's going to be more for our, certainly my kids than myself. I'm going to use it more in retirement, I think. So, but just imagine in under an hour, you're in downtown Montreal. It's commuting distance. So if you want to go see that Blue Jays game in the playoff in October, you can up on the train. 2 hours later, you're right by the Rogers Center. You go see your game. And then afterwards, you come back. And you would have trains like this every half an hour. If you can be in another city so quickly and come back in the same day, then the distance really shrunk. So it gives, in a world where there is, where hybrid work is more common, it even provides options for people to live in a city and work in a different one. So it is very exciting, and it is tremendously hard to do something big like this, like to the point where we created a Crown Corporation while we were running one of the largest infrastructure procurement going on in Canada. It's a Crown Corporation called Alto. And now, interestingly, for this project, my role is to be the shareholder of that corporation, but also take a number of the steps that only the government can take. Most of the work on the ground is done by this corporation, and we have been able to attract incredible talents. So I'm very enthusiastic about their work. And then myself and my team, we now have that government enabler and shareholder role to make sure that the project advances at pace. It's one of those things that you have the opportunity to make the life of Canadians better. And that's something that's worth getting up in the morning for. We're not there to make more profit. We're there to make the country better. And this is something that I take great pride on, and I think that everybody should. And being involved in a project like this is a very concrete example of how, when it's all said and done and I retire, can say, hey, gee, those are some of the things that I played a role in making possible. Part of the big team of great people. So it's not about me. We all worked really hard at something that was worth doing.
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. I echo those sentiments. Do you have any advice to procurement officers?
I think I covered a lot of things. I spoke about the importance of knowing the industry and all of this, but maybe just something, when I reflect back, I think like you went through my bio at the beginning, and what I have done is I've changed job like very often early in my career, 1 or 2 years, something like that. And then I was promoted or there was other things, and it turned out very well for me, but now I'm staying in jobs longer. So that's a reflection where in retrospect, things have turned out very well for me, but I think 1 year in a job is not enough. I would have tried to stay longer. So I think that now the world is changing. There's going to be like budget restraints, but in the last 10 years, there's been incredible opportunities for procurement officers to move around very regularly if they wanted to. But I would say on my experience, something can be said about staying in an organization for your whole career. I'm not necessarily suggesting that. I think certainly if you're in the federal government, like one of the great things is being able to move into different things like I've done. But I would say try to stick around to make a difference before you move. And it's hard to make a difference in 6 months. It's hard to make a difference in 1 year. Just taking the time, learning things, even if things are tougher, because often in some of the specialized area, it just takes a while to get it. So often like 6 months, a year is just like the minimum you need like to actually start to come closer to your potential in that role.
Any call to action to listeners?
It's a link to what I said, but I want to put emphasis on that. Don't be afraid to talk to the industry. Often like we get lots of different message from different person about all the risk of talking to the industry and all of this. And like you're professional, you need to be careful. Don't mend me wrong. Like we have a lot of trust that's put on our shoulders, but if you don't speak to industry, you're probably not doing as good a job as you should. So find a way. It depends on, I spoke a bit about some of my experience, different things that I have done, I was able to do, and certainly people under my leadership are doing. It may not be totally applicable to where you work or where you are, but find a way to have an exchange with the industry in a way that's appropriate, because they are incredibly frustrated often that we're not listening. And they say, if you only did this or that, I could lower my bid by 20%. So to me, that's one of the biggest thing. I think that the more procurement officers find appropriate way to talk to the industry, the better the outcome. And frankly, the job's going to be more interesting as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I think this podcast was just jam-packed with so much information, so much good, tangible wisdom. We talked about engaging with the industry the appropriate way, but also as a way to help your procurement outcomes be better. We talked about finding that reason to wake up to do our jobs, because when we serve Canadians, that's their ultimate goals in procurement. We talked about getting things wrong. You're not always going to be right, but you can get things wrong, but it's an opportunity to win and get things right. So we talked about quite a number of things, and I'm really thankful that you were able to share this wisdom to us. So thank you again for coming on this podcast. It's been an absolute blast having this discussion with you, Vincent. Any questions for me before we sign out?
No, this is great. Thanks for doing this. I think it's great for the community. I've been part of it, and I wish, like earlier, I had the opportunity to listen to podcasts like this. I hope that this will be helpful to people as they navigate their role in their career.
Wonderful. Okay. With that said and done, this concludes our podcast. A big thanks again to Vincent for taking the time and the opportunity. And stay tuned for the next podcast after this. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.